This is Weekend All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Lisa Simeone. According to the first detailed studies of the human genome, human beings have remarkably few genes, only twice as many as a worm. This humbling view of humanity is just one of the surprises from the International Human Genome Project and a similar study by a private company. Science and Nature magazines made the two analyses public this weekend. Joining us now to talk about the findings is NPR science correspondent Richard Harris. Now, Richard, what were they expecting to find, like hundreds and hundreds and thousands of genes?
Well, the estimate that we always talked about was 50 to 100,000 genes, although some private companies who were trying to sell their wares had put up numbers as high as 140,000 genes if you went to their site. But they were pretty far off. 30,000 seems to be the estimate, plus or minus a few thousand, but it's remarkably fewer.
And the worm has 15,000, is that right?
Well, the roundworm has 19,000. So,
oh dear.
And the fruit fly has 13,000. So yeah, we aren't that far off from these critters, even though we look very, very different.
Well, yeah. What does that mean? Why would there be such a small difference?
That's a good question that a lot of people are pondering right now. And I think part of it is that genes don't define us. We sometimes just call it the genetic blueprint, our genes, but it's clear that it's not a blueprint at all. At best, what it is a parts list of the parts we're made up of. It turns out one thing that's going on is that one gene can actually make more than one part because they come in units and you can sort of clip them apart and put them together in different ways. So even though there are 30,000 genes, that information can be recombined in different ways to make a couple hundred thousand parts. So that gets us a little bit closer to human complexity. But when you think about the fact that we have, you know, trillions of cells in our bodies and there are many trillions of connections between brain cells, it's clear that the idea of genome being a blueprint is really far off the mark.
Well, there's all this hope that if we just understood the human genome, we would understand everything that there is to understand about our physiology, our biology, our heredity. Is that still true?
Well, obviously, if we could really understand everything, we would get a lot closer. But it's evident that just understanding the genes alone doesn't get you very far down that road. You have to understand how genes are turned on and turned off, how they are controlled, how they combine in these different ways I was mentioning. It's a really tricky business, and just having that the sequence of the DNA in front of us doesn't get us down the road as far as a lot of scientists had hoped. But, I mean, there's still a lot of valuable information in it. We shouldn't be surprised. We are complex and interesting characters, and it's unrealistic to think that a simple printout, even a long printout of 30,000 genes would get us very far towards understanding ourselves.
Well, what else is this mapping of the human genome teaching us about ourselves that we now can articulate?
I think it really helps or starts to help us explain human evolution a lot more. One thing that they've noticed in analyzing these chromosomes is they can start to understand where one chromosome came from duplications of other chromosomes, and then the genes change within that. The other thing is that about only 1% of the whole human genome is actually genes, and the other 99% is been called junk over the years. It's evident that it's not all junk by any means, but what that rest of the genome does is it helps over the long term our genome evolve. So it helps us acquire new traits, and it helps all species do this.
Well, what is that stuff, though, that we've been calling junk? I mean, if it's not part of the gene, what is it?
It's all DNA, but some DNA spells out a gene if you read it out. Some DNA spells out what it just appears to be junk, either random snippets or certain phrases repeated over and over and over again, but that don't end up telling the body how to make a particular part of the body. So that's the vast majority of our DNA. It's and that's the stuff that people just thought, maybe it doesn't do anything at all. But now they're saying, well, it must play a really important role, as yet not fully understood, in how we've evolved.
So what is the next step for researchers now that they've gone this far?
Well, the first thing they have to do is finish this project. About 6% of the genome has not been deciphered as yet, and so that has to be completed. And then there's the task of trying to understand how you go from this simple instruction written in DNA to really understand the complexity. That's a big task.
NPR science correspondent Richard Harris. Thank you, Richard.
My pleasure.